I think for some people, especially for Black people, sometimes we do feel like we don't belong in certain rooms, but I don't feel that way. They always say, I'm supposed to feel that way. You're supposed to feel like you don't belong in this room. But I'm just like, no, I don't think I get that at all. Like, I don't understand what that feels like because I worked so hard to get here. So every room I walk in when I'm in this hospital, I'm just like, okay, no matter how you treat me or how you feel about me, I feel like I belong here. I'm gonna sit down and start my job.
Welcome to the table. You're tuned into the academic boardroom with Dr. J and Dr. E. Pull up a chair. Higher learning, higher stakes.
Welcome back to the academic boardroom. We're down with Power Brokers, shaping future of education. I'm your host, Dr. Eli Joseph, and joining me is my colleague and partner in crime, Dr. Janice Gassamasare. Today, we are joined by Dr. Shay Taylor Allen. From scrubbing floors to saving lives, Dr. Taylor Allen's journey is nothing short of spectacular. For 10 years, she worked as a custodian at Yale New Haven Hospital. But when a family medical crisis sparked a passion for patient advocacy, she chose a new path. Now a graduate of Howard University College of Medicine, she captured the hearts of millions with her viral match day video. Dr. Taylor Allen, welcome to the boardroom.
Thank you guys for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Thank you for making time for this. So I actually saw your story first on Instagram and I shared it with Dr. E. And I was like, this is amazing. We should see if she could come on the podcast. So for the listeners who are curious, could you share a little bit about your journey? What made you want to start working as a janitor at the hospital and how did everything sort of come about?
Yeah, I mean, kind of like Eli gave a brief description of everything, but originally I did not know I wanted to be a doctor. I started off as a janitor at the hospital at like 18 years old. When I started that job, it was not to become a doctor. I didn't think I could become a doctor. That wasn't the thing. I really just needed a job. And at that time, my mom was like, either you go to college or you're going to be working. So I decided I'm going to work where I'm from. A lot of people either do government work or they work at the hospital because that's the biggest hospital that we have in our area. So, you know, Black people, those are two jobs we have. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to get a job at the hospital, get some good security and, you know, make sure I got a good job. It wasn't until my mom got sick when I was in undergrad that I realized that I may want to do something else within the healthcare field. We had a fire in which she had third degree burns in her lungs. And then she had this thing called vocal cord dysfunction. And at that time, nobody was helping my mom. She was dealing with a lot of healthcare disparities. So I took it upon myself to reach out to the CEO at the time because I was actually cleaning her offices as a janitor. And I got this bright idea to ask her if she could help my mom and maybe get a new team to help diagnose what's wrong with her. And that's just what she did. And my mom got diagnosed with vocal cord dysfunction. And ever since then, I knew I wanted to advocate for patients that were similar to my mom.
That is amazing. That I didn't know that part of your story. How has the medical school journey been? You know, how do you see it? Like, I know online the reception has been so amazing. So many people are supportive of you. But how have things been, especially because we know that there's so many disparities in the amount of Black doctors that we actually have. And with all of the legislation that's been coming through, there may be less Black doctors because people don't have the funding for graduate school. So how has your medical school journey been? And you just started your residency, right? Recently, yes. Right?
Yes, yes. I just started recently this year, actually. But I mean, the journey, I always tell people, it is not easy, even though a lot of people seen the success story of, you know, my video going viral saying that I match. That is not something typical of especially Black women and even Black men. I know the numbers are actually decreasing for Black men right now and how many men we have admitted into medical school. So the journey is definitely not easy. I didn't come from money, of course. A lot of it, I had to take out a lot of loans. I always talk about on my social medias, I'm actually $590,000 in debt. So it's a lot of loans, a lot of trials and errors, because I had nobody in my family who went to medical school or became doctor. So I had to figure it out on my own how to do the process. So it's definitely not an easy process. It is a very slow process in order for you, you know, to get some outcome from it. And unfortunately, with the, you know, new administration coming in and they putting a cap on these loans, which I survived off of these loans, I can't even imagine how students are dealing with it. So I actually graduated right before that switch happened. And thankfully, I got the loans that I needed for the year. But some students are capped at, I believe, almost $200,000. And medical school is about $100,000 a year. So you can only imagine how many people right now, a few of my friends at Howard, are actually have GoFundMes to help them, you know, fund their education, because it's not enough.
And that's so unfortunate. I just read a stat that said, I think Howard, I think Meharry, and there's another one that are the top institutions that are producing Black doctors. Yeah. And so if you're telling your experiences, you know, with your friends not being able to fund their education, how is this going to impact the field in 5 or 10 years? It's just like really scary to sort of think about. But I know you've talked about how you didn't come from money. And if you, looking back, like where you are now, if there were 3 lessons you could share with somebody who wants to start medical school, a Black student who wants to start medical school, maybe some mistakes that you made or things you learned along the way, what would you say are 3 lessons that have helped you on your journey or that you wish you knew when you started this journey?
My biggest thing at 18 years old, I always wish that I wasn't scared. Number one, I wasn't scared to put myself out there. I think a lot of us are afraid of emailing somebody, calling someone and hearing a no, or hearing some closed doors or whatever the case may be. I would have told myself, do not be afraid. Send out those cold emails. Try to call people, try to connect with people, because honestly, those connections is what got me through the door. And also, mentorship or sponsorship don't always have to look like you. I'm always a big advocate in having mentors that are Black. I want to mentor other Black students. But sometimes, and with my mentor in my case, she did not look like me, but she was willing to help me to get into those doors. And she knew I wanted to go to Howard. She had connections to help get me there. She knew what it took to, you know, write my personal statement, to get my application correct, to tell me what MCAT score, just those like kind of unwritten laws of medicine that I did not know. She taught me that. So yes, get mentorship that looks like you, because they'll understand the other side of being Black in this industry. But sometimes in order to get in those doors and sponsorship that you need, they don't always have to look like you in order to help. Another thing I would have told myself, or some, you know, advice I would give to younger people, is that where you start is not always where you finish. I came in as just a janitor, and I say just in quotations because, you know, janitors do a major job in a hospital. But I did not allow that to determine who I was or what I wanted to do. Even though I came in not knowing I wanted to be a doctor, once I did decide that, I used that as motivation. A lot of doctors wouldn't talk to me in the hospital. A lot of them probably don't know my name until now that my story got out. I have a lot of doctors speaking to me now. But back then, they wouldn't even look at me half of the time or say good morning to me. But I used that as motivation to keep going. So just because you're in a position, you may not know what you want to do in life. You may be a bit confused. And this is for anybody in any lifespan. They could be 18 to 50 years old. Doesn't determine where your path is going to be.
I was wondering, I know you're in anesthesiology, which is one of the toughest, parts of medicine that you can be in. What is your 24 hours like as a new resident?
So in anesthesia, we have 4-year residency. Unfortunately, and I say unfortunately in capital letters, intern year, we have to do everything else but anesthesia. So I do like internal medicine, and I'm working all over the hospital. And basically, I'm the doctor. When you come in, you get admitted to the, you know, a service floor, and I try to figure out what's going on with you. So I'm not in the OR yet. I'm not in the OR doing anesthesia yet. But if anybody wants to do anesthesia, just know you have that 1 year where you have to consistently run your list and see so many patients, because you are an intern in your intern year. So my 24 hours is typically I'll come in very early, 6 in the morning. Sometimes I could leave 5:30, 7:30. It depends on a day. But I'm on whatever service that they told me to be on at that time.
And how do you keep from burnout and, you know, basically, you know, try, how do you basically navigate through stresses and not being burnt out from what you're doing on a day-to-day basis?
There were a number of things, honestly. It is extremely stressful. I think my first day here, actually, I got so emotional because I just felt like I was doing everything wrong. Like, there's a big shift of going from a medical student and now you're an intern doctor trying to figure things out. So there's a lot of like crying in the bathrooms, getting myself together, coming out stronger. But I think the biggest two things that help is, of course, family. My husband helps a lot with my load. He cleans, he cooks, he does the things I don't have time for, even though he's in school too. But also just making this story very personal to me. Like, I tell everybody, if you want to become a doctor, make sure you understand why you want to become a doctor. And my story with my mom was very personal. And I just feel like I have this goal I need to finish and kind of check off. And that keeps me going almost every day.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, so it's a perfect segue, how you find time for loved ones. Because you did mention you're married, and it's hard when you work such a demanding job, you're exhausted. And I know in a marriage, women are often, especially once kids come along, the ones that have to shoulder a lot of the responsibility. So how do you find the balance and how do you maintain the balance in your relationship and with your family and friends?
It's hard. I'm not even gonna lie. It is extremely hard, especially I just got married 2 years ago. And I had this thought that, you know, as a woman, there's certain things I have to do. Like, I have to cook, I have to clean, I have to have kids at a certain time. I'm 32 years old. So all these lists I had to check off because I thought that made me a good wife. But honestly, it's the people in my life that make my life a lot easier. People who understand, who are very patient with this process and understand that I might not call you every single day. I might come home and not want to talk to you after I lost a patient. It's honestly the people in my life that make that process a lot easier, because if I had a partner who was extremely like, you know, dislike the process or demanding about my process, I don't think I would have been able to, you know, go through it alone. So I think it's the people that's in my life, like I said, that make it a lot easier. Also, just try to make time when I'm tired. Like, if my husband say he want to go on a date, I might be tired, at least try to make that time. So I'm still trying to figure it out. I don't think you ever have it fully figured out, especially with trying to have kids one day. I know a lot of women freeze their eggs. So that's a huge thing that I'm possibly thinking about. So you have to think about all these things when you're in medicine and you're a woman, of course.
Yeah. I had a question for you. I want to go back to, you know, given everything that's happening or has happened with this administration, I imagine that we will see less doctors, less Black doctors. What do you think are some ways that, even with all of this administration stuff, I'll call it, that's going on, people who want to pursue medicine, Black doctors, or potential Black doctors, what do you think can be done despite all of the barriers that are have been put in place for, you know, graduate students? And you know, there were already barriers, but these are just additional barriers. So what do you think can be done to increase, maintain or increase that number of Black people in medicine?
Yeah. So I think even before this administration, this has been an issue with how many, you know, Black people do get admitted into medical school. Varies between systemic reasons, right? And then some people just not seeing themselves as doctors because they don't see enough Black doctors each day. Specifically for this and what the administration is doing, I think the biggest thing is understanding what other avenues you have when it comes to getting money for your education. I personally went through only federal student loans, but we do have private loans that people can take out. We do still have scholarships, even though DEI is not a thing. I don't think it affected us too much, right? We're still getting education as Black people. So we still have scholarships that are going on. Family, if you have family that can possibly donate to your education. I know everybody doesn't have that. But I think the biggest thing is researching other avenues of getting money in order to fund your education. And that can definitely help, because a lot of people didn't have federal student loans. A lot of people didn't have scholarships and they got took out private loans. So there are other avenues to go through in order to get money for your funding.
It's interesting because I look at an education, especially when it comes to professional education like law and medicine, as a startup. Like, you really have to have angel investors on standby, wanted to give you some money so that you can, so that way you can have a suitable amount of funds to help you through college.
That is 100%. And that's why I think a lot of younger people don't want to do it. They're like, wait, hold up. I got to invest all this before I start making money. But depending on what specialty I do, I might not make that much money. I tried to convince my cousin the other day to become a doctor. He was like, no, that's too slow. I can't. But that's why I say for young people that do want to become doctors, please understand why. We need you. We want you there. But definitely understand your why, because it is a slow process. I'm not going to lie to anyone. It is a lot. It's a lot of money and time and effort. But as cliche as it sounds, in order to help other Black people, is worth it.
I was wondering, you've been through a lot in terms of rejection, struggles, and whatnot. But what kept you from not giving up? That's basically the question that I have.
Y'all, Black people, honestly, literally, I came in thinking I want to save every Black person in the world. I was like, okay, I'm going to do OB-GYN. I'm going to help all the Black women. I'm going to help people like my mother. But literally just knowing and seeing in person the things that Black people deal with when they go to the hospital, it is not a joke. It is literally not a joke, but we deal with when we enter those hospital doors. I literally say this all the time. If you come to the hospital, make sure you bring a family member or somebody that you're close to, because you just never know what kind of treatment you're going to get. And that pushed me all the time. Thankfully, I didn't have to see that at Howard because it was a predominantly Black hospital and we care for our patients differently. But when you come back outside of your Black college, you start to see those reasonings why you started in the first place. So definitely to take care and nurture my Black people, for sure.
I forgot what my question is going to be. Because I think that's it. I started thinking about the Black maternal mortality crisis and all of those things. So it's awesome that you are, and I feel like a lot of, I don't know the stats, but I imagine a lot of women, but more specifically, a lot of Black women may feel drawn to go into OBGYN because of the crisis. So I think it's actually really amazing that you decided to pursue anesthesiology, because it seems like that's very rare.
Oh my gosh, it's so few of us. A lot of us do go into OB-GYN, which I'm very proud of, but we are needed in other specialties as well because there's so few.
Yeah, I wanted to walk back to that very same moment when you opened that letter. What was going through your mind when you said, okay, you know what, this might be it. What was it like when you had before you opened that letter?
Oh my gosh, I'm still like getting worked up about it.
That moment, at that very same moment, what was going through your mind?
Oh my gosh. Honestly, so the week of, we find out that we match on that Monday of match week, but we don't find out where we match until that Friday. And that's when you see me opening the envelope. So once I found out I matched on Monday, I was very relieved. But then everything in my head was saying, it's not going to be Yale. It can't be Yale. It's like, there's no way. I was like talking myself into, it's not Yale. I barely could sleep, barely could eat that whole week. So once I opened the letter, I quickly like jumped up and down. I seen Yale for a second. And as excited as I was just more relief more than anything, because everything it took to get here, like I couldn't believe that the circle was finally closed. And it was definitely full circle moment. Like even from birth, I was born here. So to step foot into these doors and know that I was doing it as a doctor and coming back to, you know, treat my patients that I lived with for years. I was very relieved, and it was definitely a surreal moment for me.
That's amazing. So how has the reception been? I saw the viral post or some viral posts, but have you been speaking to a lot of news outlets and doing a lot of local news? And you're from the New Haven area? I assume, yeah. Okay, because you said you were born there.
Yeah, I was born at Yale. So it's been crazy ever since the video dropped. I'm talking like CNN, ABC News, People's Magazines, SMA. Like, it's just been, even people, I'm like, wait, you guys already seen the story a million times. And they're like, no, we want to hear a different perspective. I just did another video with CNBC where they came to our house and really wanted to dive deep into, you know, how I grew up and things like that. So It's been extremely amazing. I'm definitely going to look into possibly writing a book. A lot of people
I was going to ask you that.
That's definitely going to be in the works very soon. So it's just been so much positivity, which is crazy. I haven't seen any negative comments, at least from my view, of people from all races, countries, who love the story so much. And even being here at the hospital, some of the doctors I meet here know me before I even say who I am. So that's always a good look, of course. So it's been amazing, honestly.
What does the future hold for you? You've already accomplished so much. So outside of finishing medical school, of course, what do you see yourself doing in 5 years? What are you looking forward to? What does the future hold for Dr. Taylor Allen?
Definitely finish residency. I think that's the biggest curve right now, is to get through these 4 years without my edges coming out. But definitely that. I do look forward to, like I said, I stated before, writing a book of my journey and how I got here. Hopefully a children's book as well. I had people ask me about that. And starting my career, whether it's in an OR or a doctor's office or anything like that, but definitely finish residency, start my career, and see where else I can bring my story and move it forward.
It's interesting whenever I look at stories like this, full circle moments, because going back to my personal story, I'm like, I've been rejected so many times, and now it's a matter of you're going to hear from me again. In some way, shape, or form, you're going to hear from me again.
Yes.
So I can only imagine when you got that. I'm like, yeah, you're
a human. I actually got rejected from medical school at Yale. They rejected me from medical school. And I'm like, nah, y'all not about to play me like that. Y'all going to see me for residency or something. Okay, yeah. Y'all not about to play me like that. So, yeah, I've definitely had all the rejections you can think of.
My question for you is, how important was that Howard University education, the network, how important was that experience, like, on your way to being here at Yale?
Oh, my gosh. So I actually wanted to go to Howard very bad. I'm from Connecticut, predominantly white, obviously. And I wanted to, get a different experience. So I waited for Howard to send me acceptance. And once the first year I got there, it was definitely a culture shock, even though I'm Black. It was different. Like, I got to see levels of Blackness. Like, people, they'll say, who are more elite, some people who are coming from an African background, Caribbean background. I got to see so many different levels, people who are just like me, who didn't come from much money, or people who came from other HBCUs. So I got to see the different layers and levels of being Black. And it wasn't just, we're just Black, we're all different types of people. But I think Howard definitely instilled in me the confidence that I have today, because coming in, I wasn't the same shade that I am now that I left out. They taught me to love who I am within this field, because so many people are going to try to break us down. So many people are going to try to remind us or try to tell us that we don't belong there. But seeing so many Black people, we were next to the Howard Law School. We were next to Howard Dental. Like, how can I not think that we're greatness when I'm around all these Black people who are professionals and own businesses and who are lawyers and judges and everything like that? So they definitely instilled the confidence that I needed in order to come here and kind of boss out at Yale. So it was definitely needed.
You probably feel like you, pound for pound, you can walk into any room and you feel like you belong.
I definitely have a different confidence that I had before. I think for some people, especially for Black people, sometimes we do feel like we don't belong in certain rooms. But I don't feel that way. Like, I know I'm supposed, they always say I'm supposed to feel that way. You're supposed to feel like you don't belong in this room. But I'm just like, no, I don't think I get that at all. Like, I don't understand what that feels like, because I worked so hard to get here. So every room I walk in when I'm in this hospital, I'm just like, okay, no matter how you treat me or how you feel about me, I feel like I belong here. I'm going to sit down and start my job. So.
Yeah. Do you have any words of encouragement for someone who watches this or listens to this who has gotten rejected? There's many people who may have wanted to become a doctor and they've received so many medical school rejections and they just want to give up, and maybe they hear your story and they're inspired. Do you have any words of encouragement?
Yeah, I mean, it's very, like I said, I'd say a lot of cliche things, but failure definitely, you know, taught me that everything I needed to do in my journey was worth it. I had to continuously fail to get where I wanted to be. And I had to learn the process that way. And I had to fail at not, I applied the first time to medical school. I failed at getting in that first time. And that taught me how to redo my application, how to look out for mentorship, how to, you know, make those right connections. So failure is needed. And it's a stepping stool to get to the next level. And, you know, don't count yourself out. And like I said before, where you start is not where you always finish. And just keep going.
Well, thank you. We know you have to run. You're short on time. So thank you so much for joining us. We were so excited to talk to you. I actually want to turn this into, I also write for Forbes, so I want to turn this into like an article. I don't know if you sent Dr. E your photo or your headshot. I don't remember.
I got it from online.
say that again, Dr. E.
I got it from yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. It's all over. It's gonna probably be the same one.
Okay. If there's like another one that you want to use, because sometimes when I interview people, they're like, they have this one headshot, but there might be other headshots you love that you want to use just to be different, or you could use the same one. I can send an email, or we can send an email, but I would love to turn this into also, because I think that there's a lot of really great advice for aspiring doctors or people in residency or people who are doctors. So yeah, thank you so much for your time. And
it was great
to meet you.
Thank you. I love the conversation. And thank you for uplifting Black people in every way.
Thank you so much, Dr. Taylor Allen. This is the Academic Boardroom, and we are logging out right now.
We got the mind of a scholar and a business-minded soul. We at the Academic Boardroom, yeah, we keeping it 100. If you're looking for the truth, well, you finally found it. Take a seat at the head, let the dialogue flow. It's a masterclass vibe, if you didn't, now you know.